Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Andy, and I am here with some of St. George's finest. I've got Sergeant Brett Hewish and Lieutenant Joe Hartman here. Guys, thanks for being here. Tiffany is here as well, Officer Tiffany Mitchell, but she decided she doesn't want to talk on the radio today, so we'll talk with you guys. How you doing, Joe and Brett? Good to see you.
Oh,
good.
Great. It's a great day.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Sunshiny day, a beautiful day in southern Utah. Now, you guys are in charge of a program that I think a lot of us don't think about, kind of take for granted, maybe, whatever. Tell us what it is that you guys do.
So we are over our SRO program here in St. George.
Which means?
School resource officers.
Oh, the school cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What is the, what, how many of those do we have? I mean, there can't be that many, right?
So we've actually got 13 that St. George specifically. We've got an SRO in each intermediate, middle, and high school full time.
Okay.
And then they liaison to the elementary schools and to some of our, like George Washington, Freedom Prep, some of our, those
type charter
schools
type
well.
Schools. Okay.
Yeah.
You're supervised over the SRO program, right? But you were both actually school resource officers before that, right?
Yes. So I was actually at Desert Hills Middle School for about 4 years.
Okay.
And I was at Mill Creek High School for about 3.5.
Now, immediately, Mill Creek, isn't that where...
I love Mill Creek. Yeah. It's the best school.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah? The kids there were so awesome.
Was it the Mill Creek where it's located right now?
Correct.
Okay, because there was a little while I was in that, the kind of the Heritage Hall, the old gym area, the old over there in Washington.
In Washington,
the old museum.
Yeah, and then they built the school where it's at currently at on Riverside Drive. They've been there ever since.
Very cool.
And they've expanded the building a couple times so the students get more.
Nice. Well, let's learn a little bit about you guys first, and then we'll talk about School Resource Officer Program. Let's start with Brett Hewish. Sergeant Hewish, tell us about yourself, where you from, and where you grew up,
All right. So, born and raised in Orem.
Okay.
So not too far away, but...
No, wait, he's from Provo, right? So you guys were, like, pretty close.
That's right. But, yeah, I moved down here in 2000 to go to college, went to Dixie College, and fell in love with St. George, decided that I would be here for life.
Were you an Orem Tiger or Timpanogos?
Timpanogos.
Timpanogos, yeah, okay.
T-Wolf.
Timberwolves, yeah. Yep. All right. Timpanogos was always known for having a good baseball program and being terrible with football, if I remember.
That is accurate.
But they're actually decent this year at football, so.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
And then Lieutenant Hartman, tell us about yourself.
Yep, I grew up in Provo. Went to Tempe High.
Okay.
And then came
they're,
down here.
They're always good at football.
Always good at football.
Yeah.
In fact, we won state championship my senior year.
Nice.
Same similar story. I moved down here in 92 to go to college at Dixie and just decided this is where I wanted to raise my family.
92? So you've been here longer than me. Wow. Did you leave for a while or have you been here the whole time?
Been here the whole time.
Wow. All right. So you've watched St. George grow up a little bit, haven't you?
I have. And I've been doing this job since 95. I've been in law enforcement since 1985. So.
Wow. Okay. So.
I'm the old dog.
When I moved to St. George in 94, there were 30 to 35,000 people here. And there's now, what, 105, 110?
100 plus, yeah.
Yeah. So it's changed a bit for you and I, hasn't it? How has your job changed as far as being a police officer here?
Just the call volume, the number of people we have living in the city, the types of calls. As we've grown, we start to develop a few more I always say we have the same type of calls every other city has, but our volume of those calls is starting to increase.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
And Brett, you've been here for how long, did you say?
Since 2000, so about 25 years.
That's a quarter century. Yeah. That's a long time. You look way too young to have been there that long.
I'm old, unfortunately.
He's one of those guys with a young face. You're like, it was a Dick Clark that used to be the guy that never aged or whatever. You're like him.
Nice.
So, well, cool. We'll appreciate you guys being here and talking about the School Resource Officer Program.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about what that is. I mean, obviously, okay, there's police in the schools. Okay, so what does that mean? Can you guys tell us some of the duties that you guys have?
Yeah, so first and foremost, they are law enforcement. So they are absolutely responsible for the safety of the school, the students, all the kids, the staff, anybody that's in that building. First and foremost, safety.
Okay. And that's changed over the years, right? Where they, I mean, now schools are locked, right? You can't just, Joe Blow can't come in off the street and walk into school.
Oh, yeah, we've made huge strides as far as school safety over the last few years, for sure.
Okay, and go on, you were saying?
So some of the other responsibilities I was going to talk about is they end up having unique opportunities to educate. The most police officers just don't have the ability or the opportunity to have. So that's awesome. Also, the relationships they're able to build with hundreds of kids every single year.
Yeah.
They're able to mentor and really just build relationships that typically as police officers we don't have the opportunity to build.
The cool thing is, like, when you're in a patrol setting, you may go to a house several times and deal with the same family a couple times, maybe over a period of time.
Right.
You kind of put up, we call it kind of like putting a band-aid on it. You're dealing with that situation, then you're moving on to the next. As a resource officer, you're going to see that same kid the next day and the next day. Even if they're suspended from school, you're going to see them again and again.
Right, right.
So you want to develop a relationship to them, that mentorship, so that you ultimately we want them to make good choices. And so we try to encourage that and let them know that, well, even though there's accountability for their actions, it's not done with any kind of malice. It's, okay, let's move on. Let's do some good things now.
Does it put you sometimes in that conflicted feeling of, here's a kid that I've known for years, you know, maybe 3 years as they go through high school, and now I have to, for lack of a better, I have to bust them for something they did. Does that make it tough on a school resource? Is that hard? It's like, oh, man, I don't want to do this.
It can, but I say you stumble with love, right? Because you're like, okay, sometimes accountability, well, most times accountability is a good thing, and you have that conversation with them, like, look, you know, you did this thing. We have to deal with it, and we'll move on. It can be conflicting and like, oh, I know you're better than this. I know we can move on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I've had kids that I've arrested that'll come up to me. Geez, I've been out of the school since 2009. And they're like excited to see me, tell me about their family and their kids.
Have you ever had anybody thank you for busting them?
Oh, yes.
Thank you for, I mean, a lot of times it is that moment. It's maybe an aha moment for a kid. Okay, I need to change.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, and that's what's cool is ideally we have a relationship already built with this kid, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to hold them accountable, but hopefully we've got that relationship built already and they're able to hopefully learn more from it based on that relationship versus just a kid we're dealing with one time.
One of the things that, listen, I looked up school resource officer on here and one of the things it said was informal counselor. And I was like, did you guys, as police officers, did you sign up to be a counselor, right? I mean, you signed up to be a police officer, right, and enforce the law, and here, well, you got to also be a counselor. I guess it comes with a job. I don't know. Does it?
It's what we do, and as a resource officer, it's kind of primarily the focus, because if you can have a conversation with a kid, it's amazing. Just sometimes just going up to a kid that's by himself, you notice regularly this, maybe not with his friends very often, and just have a conversation with him. Say, hi, how are you doing today? And sometimes those go a long ways to know that somebody does care and is concerned about you, and those relationships can last for a long, long time. Just, it's kind of cool to see.
Let's talk, if we can, for a minute about red flags. Now, we had, unfortunately, we had the person that committed that horrific crime 2 weeks ago was from Washington City. It was a Pineview High School kid. It seemingly there were no red flags, at least not at the high school level with this kid. Are there things you look for as a school resource officer from young people that say, hey, you know what, we need to keep an eye on this kid, or we need to watch out for what might happen? Are there red flags?
Yeah, I mean, just on the day-to-day, the school district has come a long way the way SROs and the school district work together. So there have been things put in place over the last few years that we really haven't historically done. We do a lot of things like threat assessments and reintegration meetings that really years ago weren't a thing.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we're catching some of that stuff that in the past maybe we would have missed.
I remember way back in the third or fourth grade, I had a kid, and I'll never forget his name. His name was Johnny Harrell, which I have no idea where he is now. This was a long time ago. But he loved to draw pictures of people being blown up. That was like his, I mean, you know, it was time for, we're talking fourth grade, right? We're coloring and, you know, and you know, the girls are drawing rainbows and flowers and the guys are drawing cars and this guy's drawing pictures of tanks and people being blown up and body parts and stuff. And I was like, then I didn't really think much of it, but now I think, should I have noticed? Is that a red flag? I don't know, guys.
This day and age, I would say yes.
Yeah.
And it's something that teachers and stuff will report to us, and a lot of the time it doesn't get into a criminal realm.
Yeah.
But we're definitely going to take note and keep an eye on the situation.
The nice things about noticing things like that is it may just be a conversation. Hey, this probably isn't appropriate for a school setting.
Mm.
Or, hey, why are you drawing this stuff? Just having that and maybe getting the parents involved and just being aware of what's going on goes a long ways to prevent things from down the road. Like you said, looking for those little things. Somebody's just isolated, maybe not associating like they used to. Maybe their grades are dropping, things like that. And being hooked in with the administration and the school counselors allows you the opportunity to kind of be aware of who those kids are.
What kind of training goes into a policeman that's going to be in a school on a daily basis, an SRO? What kind of training do you guys provide?
So there is NASRO is a national school association that does a lot of training across the U.S. And they really do a good job. So currently we're putting our guys through a week-long NASRO basic training at the start, and then there's continued training as time goes on. But the initial week training is really good and covers a lot of the aspects of being an SRO specifically.
What happens to an SRO during the summertime when school's not in? And a two-part question. And then what about activities like ball games and dances and debates and things like, are you guys responsible for that stuff too?
So it really depends on the administration. For example, if there's going to be a lot of people there, the administrations will have the school resource officers there. As an example, this last weekend football game, right? In-town rivalry draws a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So each school will bring their SROs. So say Dixie has two, Snow Canyon has two. And then for those in-town rivalries, typically Sarge or I'll split and attend one of the games as well, just kind of be there support for our guys. And same with basketball. If they've got a sport that maybe they've had some contention or some issues, the administrations will ask us to attend those as well.
I had some old school buddies of mine. They're like, they went to Dixie High back in the day when all there was Dixie and Cedar, right? I mean, Hurricane was a smaller class back then. But they always say, oh, yeah, we'd get in fist fights after the game, and, you know, it was no big deal. And nowadays, they don't have that kind of thing. What has changed? Is it the escalation of the level of violence, and that's why we can't allow that kind of stuff anymore? Or does it still happen?
It still happens on a limited basis. I don't think it happens that much. The good thing for us or the bad thing for us is with social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what carries it. Typically, we're going to find out about it. And on the flip side of that, that's what the problem is it, instead of just being over, go your own separate ways, that stuff will continue over and over and over on social media. It just does not go away.
Yeah.
It follows you home and on the weekends.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, though, the dynamics of schools this day and age are so different than when we were in school.
Really?
When I was in high school, I was a T-Wolf, right? All my friends went to Timpanogos, and we were T-Wolves, right?
Yeah.
And so we had our rivalry schools that were our enemy, right? But nowadays, all the schools are intertwined. With social media and the way kids network nowadays, they really all...
They
kids,
know each other.
Just their friends, yeah. All their friends go to different schools. They don't all go to the same school like we did when we were kids, and it just the networking is a lot different now, and so some of those rivalries just aren't quite the same as they were when we were kids.
I know what you mean. I went to West Jordan. We moved to Utah from Texas when I was in high school, and I would say so our closest schools to us, Bingham and Hillcrest, I knew maybe two people at Bingham, and I knew nobody. Well, no, I knew one girl at Hillcrest. That was it. We didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no social media back then. There were no. We didn't even have email back then. That was a long time ago. But it was. Yeah, you're right. Things have changed a little bit. All right, let's see. Well, we got about 7 minutes to celebrate. Let's talk a little bit about guardians. The state instituted a law, basically, that says that each school should have it. Well, maybe I'll let you guys explain what a guardian is, but so I don't mess it up. Tell us what a guardian is, and then we'll talk about the relationship between guardians and SROs.
So the guardian essentially is just an armed individual that's in the school.
Okay.
They'll carry concealed. They're not typically known to anybody who the guardian is. And just the idea is that there's an armed individual able to act if there's an emergency situation that warrants that.
And in Washington County, we have two for school, correct?
Yeah.
These are, from what I understand, they cannot be teachers or administrators. They have to be other staff members. So might be a custodian or a lunch lady or what I say lunch lady. I'm sure there's probably lunch guys out there, right? Somewhere. I don't know. but the relationship has to be such that you guys need to know who these people are, right? Most people don't know who they are.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. Because Washington County's been so forward in this, they were one of the first districts in the state to have the process complete, which is awesome. Because it's a huge lift on their part. Same thing with the Washington County Sheriff's Office, because they're kind of put in charge by the law to kind of organize and help schedule all that stuff.
Yeah.
The nice thing is over the program is we have input on who the guardians are, and then we also attended their training to help them through the process of becoming qualified to be a guardian.
Okay, so you didn't just meet them the first day of school. These are people that you were kind of active in helping them get ready to go.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, that's important, right?
Yes.
For sure.
God forbid we ever have an actual, you know, school shooting type emergency, but if that were to happen, what would be the protocol between the SROs and the guardians?
So the SRO, obviously, that's their primary responsibility, right? The school safety. The guardians they're given some pretty strict instructions on their response because, obviously, we call it like a blue on blue. We don't want good guy.
Right. No, we don't want that. No.
So they're trained on how to properly respond, how to do that stuff. Their job is mainly just to protect them and those around them. Where we are trained, have obviously our level of training is higher, so we will actively seek out the threat.
Okay.
So it's a little different, and the training continues, things will expand.
So to put it simply, you guys, the guardians are going to be playing defense. You guys are going to be playing offense.
Absolutely
correct.
Yeah. Does that make sense? That kind of sound right.
Because the number one thing that's in our favor in an incident like that is time.
Right.
We want to extend that time out. And in the couple of instances we've had in St. George where they didn't rise to that level, but we've had pretty serious initial information was something like that may be occurring. Sure. I call it rained officers. Like, we had officers that I'd never even, with three-letter initials, I'd never even heard of showing up.
that's cool.
It was pretty awesome to see. So our response in this area would be pretty, pretty good. The time frame would be very small.
Yeah,
I think so. Now, talk about the relationship. You mentioned social media, Brett, and how that factors in. How things have changed because of social media and phones and everything. How does that factor in with something like an emergency, a school shooting? Maybe not a school shooting necessarily, but maybe a bomb threat or things like that. Because every one of these kids has a phone, and they haven't, at least at the high school level, they haven't taken them away from the kids. So tell us how that factors in your jobs as SROs.
Well, it's something for us to consider and be aware of. I mean, because like you just said, there's a phone in every kid's pocket. So in the event of an emergency, it's getting blasted out to parents, other kids. It's information's getting out fast. So we talk about that in training when we do our active shooter training and stuff. That's a conversation that we have and we prepare for, but it's a real problem. Yeah. And something to be aware of.
Any thoughts on that, Joe?
One thing that we like to do, I mean, we've had a couple instances. We had a pretty serious swatting incident a few years ago, and I'll throw Tiffany, an attaboy's, her and the district PIO got together rather quickly and put out a formal statement. So sometimes we want to react and do the worst thing, But sometimes waiting a few minutes for that good information to come out makes a huge difference. And that's what they've done on all of those. They get good information out while we're dealing with whatever problem we have at hand.
Didn't we have just recently kind of threats that were false threats, but recently in schools, right after what happened with Charlie Kirk, and there was some, I don't know, there were some phone calls made or some emails sent out or something?
Yeah, it's good and bad with social media. Sometimes we get information and it gets blown up really quickly before we're able to put a stop to it and realize it was just a third-party kid said something and overheard something.
Yeah.
And which is, if the incidents, if it's the same one we're talking about, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
But there was no actual school threat, but it takes us a little bit to run that down, meet with the kids, find out, talk to parents, find out what's going on.
I think that basically that's what the press release after the fact said. It was, yes, kind of rumors and things got started, but there was no ever actual any threat to the schools here.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's something we deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You talk about every kid having a phone, and we used to talk about the telephone game, right, where it starts as something and 10 people down the line, it's
completely
different. And that's something we deal with all the time.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit frustrating, right? Because you guys have to try to separate fact from fiction, and lives are on the line.
Absolutely.
While you're doing it. So, well, we're grateful that you do that. I'm going to take a commercial break here, guys. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what SROs do on a daily basis. What do they do when nobody's in trouble? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. It is 9:34 in KDXU. I'm talking with Sergeant Brett Hewish and Lieutenant Joe Hartman from the St. George Police Department, and Tiffany's here too, but she's in plain clothes, so we're not going to turn the mic on. She's not wearing a flak jacket. Sorry. So, anyway, welcome back, everybody. We're talking school resource officers today, and Lieutenant Hartman and Sergeant Hewish are in charge of the school resource officer program here, the supervisors. As supervisors, what are your duties, guys? And then we'll get into some of the other stuff.
So, we've just got an office downtown. We're not assigned to a school like all our SROs.
Right.
I will spend the majority of my day just bouncing school to school, depending on where needs are.
Yeah. Okay.
And then because of the number we have, it's outside our typical ratio of supervisor to subordinates. So I assist with that as well. I'll go by the schools as often as I can. I'm also responsible for updating if there's anything that they need, equipment, stuff like that, making sure they get it. And I review all their reports. And then if sometimes people aren't happy with what we do and they want to complain,
yes,
we'll deal with those as well.
My wife works for Washington City, and she is the complaint department. Anything wrong, send them to Shelley. But she has a good way of making people smile after they're done complaining. So that's pretty good. All right, let's talk about a couple things. First, I had talked about it earlier, but we didn't get to it. Summertime comes around, school's out. School resource officers, they got nothing to do, right?
Unfortunately, there's plenty to do.
There's plenty to do. I figured there was.
Yeah, so as we mentioned before, we've got 13 SROs that work full-time for St. George.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those will actually go work other assignments. So some of them will go work patrol. Some of them will go, sometimes we'll have them work in our ECHO unit, which is the bike patrol. Sometimes they'll help out with our investigations. Our SROs are super experienced. We've got guys that have been on the mountain bike patrol in the past. We've got guys that were detectives before becoming an SRO. So sometimes they will go and assist those units during the summertime. But we also have a SPEAR program that our SROs created a few years ago.
Do you remember what SPEAR stands for? It's an acronym, right?
Students, Police, Education.
Tiffany, come on.
Awareness and Resilience? You had to hit me up.
Dang it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you guys on the spot.
I know Resiliency is the R.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. Oh, we're going to get it for this.
No, that's okay. Now, tell us what it is, though, besides what it stands for.
So this
what
is a program that the SROs created themselves. So they partnered up with some other community partners. The health department does some stuff. Southwest Prevention Coalition participates in it as well. And it's a week-long program for kids that are transitioning from the younger age group to the older age group. So
okay, so like a middle school or going to high school? Or
so a little bit of both. So we expanded it this year to include a little bit older kids. So previously it was from elementary to intermediate. So intermediate is where the kids really experience having an SRO at their school for the entire year, there all the time.
Yeah.
And so attending this program helps bridge that gap, get them, they're able to get comfortable and kind of understand who their SRO is and what they're doing.
And some of these kids, maybe their only ever interaction with the with police is a negative one, maybe a domestic or something. So this is important for them to kind of let their guards down a little bit and just get to know you guys.
For sure. Yep.
Okay, that's cool. Did you find it, Joe?
I did.
Yeah.
Because it was Students, Police Education, Achievement, and Resilience.
Achievement was the one I couldn't remember. Dang it.
We failed to achieve on that, didn't we?
Failed it. We'll hear about it.
Yes, we will.
Okay, so the SPEAR program, how long does it run, and what school are you doing it at all the schools, and how do I get a kid involved in this? I mean, obviously we're a ways from it right now.
Yeah, so we've got four cone sites in St. George.
Okay.
And so for each cone site, there's a week-long program. So say for Pineview, for instance, they'll have a week that's laid out specifically for the Pineview cone site. So for the younger age group, the classes are 3 hours a day. We'll do a morning and an afternoon session. So they'll attend 4 3-hour sessions throughout the week.
Okay.
For the older age group, that we added this last year, they actually will do a full day. So they get to come in the morning, stay there all day, and experience a little more than the younger age groups. So June this year we set up as the younger age group, so we just do the shorter classes during June, and then during July the entire month was the longer classes.
I was reading about the duties of SRO. One of them is educator. Now, that's part of it, your SPEAR program you're talking about. But what else are you guys called on as SROs to educate? What does that mean?
As an example, each of four of our six high school SROs teach a law enforcement class. It's regular class people can sign up, kids can sign up for and take. And it's a last semester, just like the rest.
Okay.
And they cover all different aspects of law enforcement. There's a kind of a basic curriculum that they follow, and then they kind of tweak it for their class. They're really well attended, and they've been doing it for a long, long time. Maybe.
Yeah.
And my guess is it's not just the formal classroom, too, but also, like you mentioned, Brett, you're seeing these kids day in and day out. So the education not only is in a classroom, but also just in the day-to-day talking with these kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to hit on one more classroom education aspect, though.
Okay.
We, as SROs, we also get the opportunity to go into classes and talk about different aspects. I actually had the opportunity to go to Utah Arts Academy and go present on the Fourth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an awesome experience to be able to talk to these high school kids and just really have a good discussion. The questions that they have are awesome.
I was just going to say, what was their understanding as you were going through that? But apparently it was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And continued discussion is just awesome. I've had experiences where I've gone into a classroom and it ends up being a boring class because I'm mostly up there just talking, right?
Yeah.
The really good ones are when you can get the students engaged and just really have a good discussion back and forth. And that's what my last experience was. Just awesome having a lot of back and forth with the students.
So we also have, now I guess Washington has, what, three officers over there for the Crimson Cone site over there?
Correct.
Do you guys integrate with them at all? I mean, obviously you're different police departments, but you're doing something very similar.
Yes. They do pretty much the very similar things that we do. The nice thing about our county is we're all under the same district.
Okay.
So it makes it nice that we get along really well. We try to do training with them and have a meeting where we kind of throw everything on the table and kind of, because kids will move from boundary to boundary or issues will bounce from area to area. So,
what are some of the, and I don't like to bring up negative stuff, but what are some of the problems that SROs run into on a daily basis? I remember back when I was in high school, everybody had a hot rod. All the guys had a hot rod. And one of the, you know, before and after school, man, we were laying, you know, rubber patches on. We were being stupid teenagers. Are teenagers still stupid? Like I was.
I know that's answer a that directly.
Loaded their question. Brains are not fully developed.
There you go. Brain not fully developed. That's it. Yeah.
No. So it depends on the SRO because we've got different age groups. We've got an intermediate SRO is dealing with 11 to 13 year old kids.
Right.
They're dealing with a lot of different
who are arguably more stupid, but I said that, not them. I said that. Okay. Anyway.
So I go back to your question. The high school guys are absolutely dealing with traffic issues on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Of kids being kids. But then you've got our middle school that's kind of in between those age ranges. So it depends on the SRO.
Okay. Any thoughts on that, Joe?
Yeah, no. As an example, it's just the nature of our community, right? I mean, we have a lot of high schools in our area. Say you have a problem, so-and-so's dating so-and-so at Hurricane High or Washington City or Crimson, and then they have some type of argument, and then that spills over to our school the next day. They show up at campus wanting to fight.
Oh, boy.
Those things happen almost daily.
Yeah.
And they don't have to physically do it. Now it's all – they can do it by social media.
Well, yeah, social media. I mean, across all three age groups we're talking about, social media. And
we have two high schools that draw students from all over the district. Mill Creek High takes students from all over the district. So they could live in Hurricane, Washington City, St. George. And then we have Career Tech.
Right.
Which takes students from all over the district. So,
I've had a lot of traffic officers on talk about the electric bikes and electric motorcycles and all that, how it affects them. Does that affect school resource officers too? Is that a factor on campus?
It can be. It's an issue. They're not allowed to ride them on any street, any bike path, and then from time to time, kid will get a new sir on or whatever, and then they just said they're going to ride it to school.
Yeah.
I was on my way to visit Pineview Middle School one day, and I stopped a kid riding his sir on down the street.
Yeah.
That it gave me a good opportunity to educate. I gave him a referral, but at the same time, he was literally across the street from the school, so I let him push it, call his mom, and have her come pick it up.
Nice.
So I got the education component as well as the accountability part, because they're just fast and dangerous.
Yeah.
We have cases where people will steal them. So if that happens, then we end up with all kinds of problems, or they'll do criminal mischief, or they'll damage the property, or, you know, somebody's mad at somebody else. And
so tell me again, I don't know if you know, maybe Tiffany, if you guys don't know, the rule on these, isn't a certain horsepower or speed that makes them illegal to operate?
Yes, there's some different categories, but the easiest way to really look at it is if they've got pegs, it's a dirt bike. If it's got pedals,
functional pedals.
Then it's typically an e-bike, and then the e-bike has a couple different classes of.
So just because I have a bike that it has electric capability doesn't automatically make it illegal to ride on the streets, right?
What kind of distinguishes like a Suron is the size of the engine, the motor.
Uh-huh, right.
It's over 750 horsepower or whatever it is, CCs, whatever the.
It's watts. Based off wattage.
Yeah, watts.
Yeah, okay.
But it's also the speed component to them, because if they can go over 28 miles an hour, it automatically puts them in that other category.
Yeah, so the e-bikes with the pedals typically are legal to ride around. Yeah, but the dirt bikes, the electric dirt bikes are just like a normal gas dirt bike. They'd have to be registered and off-road.
Licensed and brake lights and blinkers and all that
or
stuff.
Street legal that way.
Okay. All right, we're gonna take another commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the day-to-day for an SRO and, what exactly he does every morning when he gets up and gets to work. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
950 on KDXU. You guys, I told you it would go fast. It always goes really fast in here. By the way, I think Sergeant's your first time, right?
It is.
On the radio. You're doing a great job, man.
Appreciate it.
Like an old pro. Yeah. And Lieutenant Hartman over there, he's like, yeah, I do that all the time. No problem. Right? Anyway, welcome back, everybody. We're talking school resource officers today, and I do remember a police officer being on campus when I was in high school, and that would have been in the 80s. So that's, you know, I'm kind of old, and I think I'm older than Joe and Tiffany combined. Maybe, well, not combined, maybe. But anyway, you know, it's one of those things. I made the joke, I think, earlier in the show. Well, I was a good kid. I never talked to the SRO much, but you guys talk to all. I mean, it's not, you're not just dealing with the kids that are in trouble, right? I mean, your job is to kind of integrate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's part of the education part we were talking about earlier, where we're able to go into a class and have good discussions. Those are kids that, yeah, maybe we wouldn't have the opportunity to talk to. And, yeah, absolutely, we're talking to good kids all the time.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Tell us what day-to-day is like for you. You guys were both full-time SROs. Now you're supervisors over it. But tell us what it's like for an SRO. What is a typical day? And I know no day is typical, and we're stereotyping. But tell us what a typical day would be like.
Yeah, so as you said, it's hard to say a typical day. But as we talked about, number one is school safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to spend a good chunk of their day walking around the campus, making sure things are not out of the norm. They're going to make sure doors are locked where they should be, things like that. But they work tightly with the administrators of the school. So mm-hmm. typically the assistant principal is responsible for school discipline. And so they work really tightly with the assistant principal. Really, every single day, there's a lot of stuff that comes to the SRO that may be law enforcement related, may just be a school issue that the assistant principal needs to handle. And the flip side, there's plenty of information that comes through the school side of it that really needs to get law enforcement involved.
Okay.
So that relationship's super important and something that they spend a lot of the day with their administrators. In different meetings and different things like that.
While class is going on, I imagine the job can be, I mean, you have some routines and things you want to do, but between classes, when all heck breaks loose and the hallways are filled with kids, what's that like for an SRO?
You know, some of the best SROs, they're all good. We choose very wisely. But no, in reality, is they're out meeting the kids, saying hi, getting to know them, spending time with them, being seen. They'll check the areas where there may have been issues in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Kids like to ditch class or do stuff they're not supposed to. They'll check those areas. But they really like to get out, and we expect them to, and they do get out and interact with the kids. Like at lunch, they're not in their office. They're out on camp, unless they absolutely have to be. They're out intermingling with the kids.
And those are those opportunities that they're able to make contact with kids and build relationships where maybe they wouldn't otherwise. Not a kid getting in trouble and having to sit there and talk to them, right?
Right.
Oh, sure. It's probably like a 99-to-1 or greater ratio of good interactions to where we have to do some type of enforcement.
I was thinking about, we were talking earlier about potential school shootings, and unfortunately it's become a common thing in the United States of America, and we hope it never happens here, but it seems like a logistical nightmare there's a lot of places for a bad guy to hide if he decides to do something like that, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one nice thing is we work with our faculties. We work with the front office staff. If somebody's on campus and they empower them that if somebody's on campus that shouldn't be, they know. Mm. And they know pretty quickly. And this is pretty common, a student from one school will come visit another school, and they may not stick out for very long because somebody's going to be like, hey, that kid doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
Then they'll go, oftentimes the administrator of the SRO will go make contact with them and say, hey, what are you doing here?
And a lot of times, I guess most times, probably pretty harmless, right? I was always just visiting my friend or whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's 99, seriously, it's a very low percentage where they're there for something that's not up to. But it does happen from time to time. They'll show up and want to fight.
Yeah.
Those things happen, but.
One thing that after I graduated high school, the year after I graduated high school, I actually had gone back to school because they needed help. And I played the saxophone. They didn't have any saxophone players for their pet band. So I would come back and play with the pet band. But there were a couple of times where I had the vice principal kind of get in my face, like, why are you back on campus? What are you doing here? You know, and understandable. But how many kids have a hard time letting go once they graduate? Do you have a lot of kids coming back that shouldn't be in school anymore?
It doesn't seem like we come across that too often. I mean, once in a while we'll have a kid come back that maybe has already graduated. But usually it's, as LT was talking about before, kid school to school, coming to see their friends or something like that.
One thing is like a football game on a Friday night. That's when everybody just kind of shows up and hangs out with their old friends and stuff. And
right.
It's amazing when I go work with the SROs at a football game, how many kids are, hey, what are you doing? You graduated. You know, that's usually when that occurs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, are you guys responsible? We talked about extracurricular events. We talked about it for a minute, but there are a lot of them in high school. And in fact, if you talk with the athletic director and the assistant principals and the principal, they have to divide. Somebody has to be at every one of those. And does that stand for the SROs as well? Do you have to be at all those?
So, Lieutenant Harmon was talking about before, it really is up to the school administrators on what they want us at. But our SROs end up working a lot of the games.
A lot of extra hours, huh?
Dances and lots of different sports.
It really depends on the sports season. Like, they all work football. So the expectation for our high school and middle school, because they're typically their kids are the ones at the games, they work it. And then we had some that were doing girls soccer or because they've had issues, or boys soccer. Or the interesting one this year, last year, was lacrosse.
Yeah.
Really? Lacrosse? Yeah. You wouldn't think that.
It's new to the area. It's not something that's been down here. And so kind of figuring out what those crowds are going to look like and how rowdy they're going to be.
Yeah, up north they've had lacrosse as a high school sport for a while, but it's a new thing here, and they're trying to figure it out, huh?
It's really fun to watch. Watched a lot of games this last year.
And they're all carrying weapons. They have these big, long sticks, right? Yeah. So, and they know how to swing them, apparently. They teach them how to swing them. So, all right, anything else? We've got about 2 minutes. Anything else about SROs that we need to know? I guess one of the things I was thinking about, you guys were talking about them being at events at night. They're probably there before school for traffic to keep an eye on that. They're probably there after school to keep an eye on. These guys work a lot of hours, don't they?
They do.
They do. Yeah.
Overtime, man.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else about SROs that we should know before we go? Like I said, about 2 minutes.
No, I would say probably without a doubt, we as St. George Police Department put our best foot forward when it comes to our SRO program. We're very selective on who goes into the schools because they are in charge of our most vulnerable people. So we make sure that we put good, solid people in those positions, and they do a good job for us.
Is this a job that's sought after by police officers, or is it just kind of there? Or
it kind of goes in waves. There's times, because a lot of times it's just because they don't understand what they do, but I've never had somebody go into the program and go, man, all I do is sit in my office. They're like, I cannot believe how busy we are.
Yeah.
Because there's always, you got 600 to 800 kids or 1,000 kids in a school, there's always something going on.
Well, they also really enjoy the assignment.
I was just going to say.
It's typical that a guy that becomes an SRO wants to be an SRO for a long time.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, you remembered having an SRO in school. That's a huge factor. It's like, I was influenced by my SRO when I was younger, and I want to do what they do.
Yeah. Cool. And it's rewarding in different ways that you just don't get in other police work.
Sergeant Brett Hewish, Lieutenant Joe Hartman, thank you guys for coming on and educating us a little bit about the SRO program. Sounds like it's doing well. Appreciate it.
Heck yeah. No problem. Thanks for having us.
We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. What's today? It's Tuesday. Tomorrow we'll be on the air. I promise. Talk to you then.